Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
While you get into cards, these are ID cards, and I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. A little Bible trivia question. Okay, are you ready? There are times that many times a person in the Bible, their story, they are unnamed. You know, the man who was born blind, Jesus healed his eyes. We don't know his name. But there are other times when the person's name is given to us, and there's always a reason, and it may not be really anything significant we see there in that story. For example, how many of you know the man's name who fell asleep while Paul was preaching, and he was sitting in a second story window, and he fell to the ground while Paul was preaching? He fell asleep and fell to the ground outside. And how many of you know his name? $1 million. Anybody know his name? Look at it. You had your chance.
His name was Joe.
No, his name wasn't Joe. You're not going to forget this. Okay. You're not going to forget this. Eutychus. Why was his name mentioned in the Bible as the guy who fell out of the second story window while Paul was sleeping? Here's the answer. It's going to help you remember his name. So if you ever ask this $1 million question again, you're going to be ready. Okay? Remember, he went to sleep while Paul was preaching and fell two stories. Eutychus. Everybody say Eutychus. Eutychus too, if you fell out of a second story window. Ba-dum-bum. Okay. I just wanted you to laugh. Bang! You get it? You got a testimony coming up here, brother. I need something. Bang!
Well, okay. I have two testimonies. Monday, I come down with a real bad cold. Tuesday, I was bad. Today's Wednesday, I'm pretty well. I had an eye doctor's appointment today, which about 3 years ago, I went to the eye doctor and they said, well, you've got cataracts growing in your eyes. But they're not bad enough yet. We don't need to take them out yet. I said, okay. And every 6 months I would go, and I said, well, they're a little worse, but not bad enough yet. So I had to change doctors recently because of a thing up in the Villages. So I went to the doctor last year in April. He said, oh yeah, they're there, and I'm gonna see you in a few months. So I went today. The guy looked, and he looked, and he looked, and said, well, you don't have to see me anymore. The next time you come, just see the optometrist, because they're either gone or they're shrinking, one of the two.
Amen.
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 Now, I know this is a blessing from God. This is a healing from God. I have been healed 3 times that I can remember in the last 18 years. I had a bad heart problem about 18 years ago. The doctor said, hey, transplant. It's going to be a transplant. Well, it didn't. It's still there. I had 2 internal bleedings in this time. And the one, this last one almost killed me. But God saved me. And I know from many years of reading and studying and hearing good preaching, you just believe what the Bible says. if you just believe it, I mean, if God says, well, back in Isaiah, first, you're healed by my stripes. You'll be healed by my stripes. And Peter, it's, you were healed by his stripes. I'm healed. I've been healed. I'll be 72 in about a month. And I, it's good. But I also know that someday, God, when I ask for a healing, he's going to say, no, Ivan, it's time for you to come home. And that, as a friend of my former pastor told him, he was on his deathbed in the hospital, it don't get any better than this. He's going to heaven. So I just know I was healed. I know. I mean, if I could just pound it into your head, you believe what the word says. Pastor preached on believing recently. Just believe it. That's all God, and it's yours.
Believe.
It's so simple that most people say, oh, you're just stupid. You Christians are stupid. Yeah, well, I know where I'm going.
Amen. Believe. Everybody say, believe. Amen. Bang. That should be the new thing now. Anytime that I got a testimony, bang. Pull that gun out like Sunday morning. That's right, brother.
We're going to bang tonight. Now, Satan, you have no authority over us. You don't belong to us. Uh-huh. We belong to Jesus.
Amen.
Bang.
Amen.
Bang.
And when we stand in front of God, which we're all going to someday, the devil will probably be on the other. He'll be the prosecutor saying, well, look at this Ivan. He was a real bad guy. He did a lot of stuff that he shouldn't be here in heaven. But then my advocate will step up, right. Jesus Christ, and say, Father, this one's mine. Case closed. Dismissed.
Yeah. Yeah, if you weren't here Sunday morning, you may not understand the bang. But the bang. Bang!
I just want to let Ivan know that his word that came tonight was the answer to my prayer. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow for eye problems. I was at my primary doctor. They said, well, something is going on with your eyes, but it's dealing with your brain matter. So we're sending you to a specialist. I laid before the Lord today, and I said, God, I believe in you. I trust you. We did communion. I believe that by your stripes I am healed, but I want to work. Hallelujah, sir. Hallelujah, sir. Hallelujah. And tonight, he gave me my word.
Amen.
He gave me my word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else got one? If you got one, say bang. I'll come. I'll get you. You got my attention. Bang. A little louder. I like that.
I have to share something. My heart has had to share it. And sometimes when people tell you stuff, you have to. Because I have, there was one time, me and my husband, for some reason, I decided to take, I wasn't feeling good. So since there's, you know, diabetes in my family, so I decided, well, I'm going to take my blood. It was like 500. I says, wait, oh my God, Devon, I'm 500. My God, my blood is high. So then I'm like, no, I don't believe that in the name of Jesus. So I talk to other people and they tell me, well, you know, you need to go to the doctor. And says, but in my mind, they're telling me that I need to go and then I need to do this. But something in my spirit was telling me, no, you're healed. What did Jesus say? I am healed. I'm not receiving that. So I took my husband's blood. He wound up being like 400 and 500. I said, Esteban, oh my God, our sugars are going up. But there can't be. There's no way. So I decided, so I told my uncle, let me try your machine. Don't forget, there's other people telling me that go to the doctor, that maybe because of this, whatever. Okay. So then I told my uncle, come here, let me try your machine. So I tried the machine. It wasn't it. I was only 100. So I'm like, I felt that if I would have, I felt like the enemy tried to trick me because the machine was broken. But if I would have confessed, oh my God, I got diabetes, but in my spirit kept saying, no, you're not. You're not. So I believe what I was saying. I said, no, I'm not. I don't care who's telling me that. You know, I just stand in the word. I'm healed. And I have plantar fasciitis in the feet. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks with no pain. After 7 years. 7 years with pain. I would get up so bad I couldn't even touch the feet, you know, the floor. 2 weeks. I kept telling you. John, then I heard him. Then I heard him. 2 weeks. The manifestation works. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Good. Amen. This is there's a reason God has people share testimonies, and it is to do what you just started, brother, because it was a prophetic encouragement to our sister Lee here to believe God for healing, and probably several others here tonight that we don't know about, where God is speaking and telling you to believe. Just believe. Just believe. Believers, believe. All right, this is your ID card. I've been going over this since, August. It's been helpful to me, and I believe the Lord would have me share this with you, and I think it would be helpful to you. Now, before I jump into that, don't forget, we have prayer tomorrow morning, right? Or not? Not tomorrow morning? Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you said it. I didn't want someone to show up. We usually have prayer tomorrow morning at 6:30, but next Thursday. Okay. All right. So stay warm in the morning.
Stay warm in the morning.
All right. Good. Okay. All right. So this identity card, we're gonna go over this a little bit tonight. It's gonna help you in several particular areas of your life. But let's read it out loud together. Okay. Beginning with the title, My Identity in Christ. Say it with me. Because of Christ's redemption, I am a new creation of great worth. I am deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted by God, and absolutely complete in Christ. Now that is if you're born from above. And I would add to this my own parts of this that I needed because I needed to get freedom from a performance mentality, let's say. I had to add some things, and I added to my card, not because of what I do and not because of what others say about me. And I just add that to my own. Every morning I say this out loud. Bang. Just means when you speak the word out loud or you speak truth out loud, you don't fight the devil with thoughts. When he starts putting thoughts in your head, you have to speak out loud. That's what I meant by take out a gun and bam. You know, you stop him from talking and you speak loudly. So I speak this out loud every morning. I have it posted at my desk. And I go over it, and I have it memorized now because I've been going over it for months, and it has helped me personally to get free from a performance mentality, because we are human beings before we're human doings, and if you're not careful in the Christian life, you can run around like a chicken with your head cut off. What do I need to do? 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 And God will tell us things to do from time to time. But it's more important that we be than we do. Earlier last year in my kitchen one day, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me almost like an audible voice and said to me, would you quit trying so hard? That'd get your attention. And I knew instantly what the Lord was talking to me about. He was talking to me about learning to just be, rather than think I got to do this and 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 do this. It's like Mary and Martha, the difference. Martha's the busy one out there doing all the work in the kitchen that needs to be done. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, feeding on his word. You got to learn what your priorities in life are. And for me, as a pastor, as a child of God first, and as a pastor is what I do, but a child of God is who I be. And my being is more important to God than my doing. In fact, my doing is supposed to come out of first my being. I'm a better pastor to you if I'm more in touch with my being than my doing. Out of my being will come sermons to preach. You can just go get a sermon off the internet and preach a sermon out of a book. You can hear somebody else on TV and go preach the same thing. But that's doing. God is interested in our being. Being with him. Being who you are. Not trying to be somebody else. Is any of this making sense, or have I lost you? I'm going to try to bring it back here to you. When a person becomes born from above, born again, a Christian, when a person gets saved, on the inside of them, the Holy Spirit comes and now lives inside that person. That's what makes them a Christian. Without the Spirit, they wouldn't be a Christian. Are we in agreement with that? Well, you'll see a little formula up on the screen next. When that happens, the Holy Spirit, capital S, comes into the human spirit, small s, and creates a new thing that did not exist before. A merging of God's Spirit in the human spirit, creating a brand new spirit. The human spirit was there, but it was a human spirit void of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit was out there, but now he's in here, and the two have merged together. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, which is a phrase used to talk about us believers, we're in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He didn't exist before. Now there's a new creation that exists. And it's a result of the Spirit of God and the human spirit being merged together as one. It's not the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. It was that at the conception, but now it's the Holy Spirit and the human spirit merged into one spirit. God says, 1 + 1 = 1. Just like marriage, a husband and wife come together, God says now they're one. And this is a new creation. So now, your body and your soul are still the same. And that's where we have trouble. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Now, the Bible calls us two things. He says there's the inner man and the outer man. And the outer man, which is the flesh, the body, is perishing. Have you noticed that in the mirror lately? You're still using the oil of delay? Doesn't work? That man's perishing. One day, this outer man will be right back into the dust of the earth. But the inner man, God says, is renewed day by day and is actually getting stronger and better and more like Jesus. Now, your old human spirit before the spirit was born from above was actually, the Bible calls Ephesians 2, dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead to the things of God. You'd read the Bible, it wouldn't make any sense to you. You had no interest in it. You might go to church and think it's the most boring thing I've ever been in my life. I'll never come back. You had no interest, no appetite, no desire for the things of God. Your spirit, your human spirit was dead to the things of God. Christians could try to talk to you and you thought, I have no idea what they're talking about. But when you were born from the Spirit of God and He merged your human spirit with His spirit and created a brand new spirit, now you are a spiritual baby on the inside. And you have an appetite for the things of God that you didn't have before. When you hear the Word of God being preached, man, your spirit on it stands up on the inside. You're like a little bird in the nest saying, give me some more food. Give me some more. You feed on that, man. You love it. Your spirit's craving that. It's desiring it. And the things of God become alive to you. Now, the situation is you are a spirit man. Before, you were not a spiritual person. Even people today, I hear people talk about being a very spiritual person. They say, I'm a very spiritual person, but they're not Christian. They're talking about psychic stuff and all that. You know, no, you're not spirit. You don't know what spirit you're talking about. But when you're born from above, see, before you were born from above, you were led this way. The next picture will show the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, ruled your body. Your mind ruled your body. When do you want to eat? Whatever you want to eat, whatever you want to do, your soul ruled over your body. This is a picture of a person who is not born from above. But now, your human spirit is alive and merged to the Spirit of God, but you have to retrain your soul and your flesh. Because your flesh has appetites. It has memory. Your mind has memory and has appetites. And you have got to learn to rule in your spirit and make your soul and your body subject to the Spirit. And when you do that, you walk in the Spirit. Now notice the tension inside. Anybody notice any tension inside you? Do you notice any? Oh yeah, boy, I feel the flesh. I feel my mind wants this, my flesh wants this, but I know what my spirit wants. And yet there's like a war going on there. And Galatians tells us all about this war. In Galatians 5, as the scripture says, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the spirit. The desires of the spirit are opposed to the flesh. They're antagonistic to each other. They're continually in conflict with each other so that you're prevented from doing what you desire to do. You always have this tug going on. As long as you're here on the earth in a body, you're going to have that temptation. You're going to have that to deal with this. But if you are, notice what? Led by the Spirit. Not driven by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. How do you get led by the Spirit? What's the difference between being led and being driven? Boss says, get over there and get that broom and clean that mess up. Are you being led or driven? And see, God doesn't work that way. God leads. Follow me. Let me show you this. Let me show you this person who's hurting. Let me show you a need that needs to be met. And God leads. Okay, so if you're led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. We don't need laws. We don't have to live by the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were written on stone so people would remember them. Now we have God's Spirit living on the inside of us. And the Spirit has all the law of God. It's on the inside of you. You don't have to have a rule book to know right from wrong. The Spirit of God's on the inside of you now. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're not subject to the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, division, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. You want to know if you're being led by the flesh? There you go. There's a whole list of things. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no what? Oh, we don't need a law to tell us. Because the Spirit's inside of us. So the Spirit has desires and the flesh has desires. Would you agree? And the flesh is opposed to the Spirit. Next one, there you go. And the flesh is driven by works. But the Spirit leads producing fruit. Now, I'm saying all this because I'm going somewhere. Very important. There are three types of people in the church. There are lost people in the church without God. They have religion. They don't have God. And you usually notice them because they carry the rule book with them, the law. And they're quick to condemn, quick to point out if you're a rule breaker. Lost people without God. Saved people led by the Spirit. Walking in love. Walking in empathy and compassion with people. And then you have saved people who are what the Bible calls carnal. Carnal is a word, we get the word carne, which means meat or flesh. These people are saved, they're born again. But they are more in tune with the flesh than they are the Spirit. They walk more in the flesh than they do the Spirit. Oh, they've had their moments in the Spirit, but primarily they're dominated by the flesh. And Paul wrote to a whole congregation of people in the city of Corinth, whom he called carnal Christians, fleshly Christians, more in touch with the worldly appetite rather than the things of God. And he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "Brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as carnal or as fleshly, even as babes in Christ, immature. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not yet strong enough, for you're still carnal, you're still fleshly." You get a rebuke there. You sense a sense of a rebuke. He's rebuking them because they're still immature. They should be more spiritual now. We should be growing in the Spirit. How many years have you been a Christian? You still have to be pampered? You still have to be fed milk? The Bible is described in three ways. There's the milk of the Word. You need that when you're a new Christian. But there's also the meat of the Word. And a baby gets off the bottle and goes on to meat. But then the Bible is also called strong meat. Milk, meat, and strong meat. What kind of food would you like? What kind of food would you like? I'm asking. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Some people need milk. That's okay. If they're new in the Lord, or even if they've been a Christian a long time, but they couldn't handle meat. You wouldn't give a little baby who's on a bottle, you wouldn't feed him meat. He'd choke. He can't handle it. He doesn't have teeth yet. But you don't want to be someone who's been a Christian for 42 years and still need the milk. You don't want milk sermons. You don't want milk teaching. You want meat. Strong meat. You want to get to the strong meat, which is truth. That is truth. Yeah, that's right. So he's telling them, he said, look, he's writing this letter of correction to the Corinthians, who, by the way, had all the spiritual gifts going on. So having spiritual gifts go on doesn't necessarily mean you're mature. And so he goes on to say, you weren't strong enough. You're still carnal. You're under the control of your ordinary impulses. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 3:3, he says, for as long as there is envying, jealousy, arguing, and divisions among you, you're not carnal and living like you aren't you not you're carnal and you're living like unchanged men. And God liked what Paul said so much that he said, I'm going to put that one in my book. So people at Grace Tabernacle on Wednesday night in January 2018, they'll read it. What are the indications of being a carnal Christian? Let's just create a list. They have to have the milk. You can't give them meat. They're just immature. It's okay if you're a new Christian, but you shouldn't have to have milk forever. Carnal impulses, fleshly impulses. We all have that. But that means you're more dominated by it. You don't know how to quit the addiction. You don't know how to say no to the flesh. When the Spirit says it's time to fast, you say, I ain't going to fast. King's stomach's going to rule. The flesh. It's a strong thing. Listen, I don't care if you're a strong Christian. You still got flesh to deal with. It's a struggle. It's going to be a struggle as long as you're here. When you get to heaven, you won't deal with that. That's over with. But while you're here, it's like God's training ground. It's boot camp. Get control of your flesh. You have an addiction in the flesh, get help with it. Don't let it dominate your life. And then notice he lists three things that they were having trouble with in their church. Envy. Well, how come so-and-so gets blessed? And I'm a better Christian than they are. I don't know why they got God's blessing them with money. They don't need it. I need it. Envy. Be careful. When you start comparing yourself with other people, look out. You are on a slippery slope. Jealousy, same thing. I don't know why God's blessing that church. They're a bunch of liberal people. They don't even believe the Bible's the Word of God. They don't know how to praise and worship. They don't pray in tongues. I don't know why God's blessing them. Jealousy is really, really bad among preachers. Don't ask me how I know that. Arguing and divisions. Satan's primary attack against Christians is arguing and division. let's create something where they won't pray together anymore. Oh, they'll go to church and on the surface act like everything's okay, but they don't pray and they don't love one another. And it's division. And there's little fractures all through the church. And on the surface, you can't really see a fracture when you look at the bone. You don't even see a fracture. Yeah, they're not big enough. That's right. And so you don't even notice it, but the church has got so many fractures, arguing and divisions. And you know, most of the stuff that people argue and get divisive over don't really matter. I mean, in eternity, what is it going to matter? What are the indications of being a carnal Christian? Just look at that list and see if you have any of those things there that you might need to deal with. Well, preacher, how does this card you gave me about my true identity, I mean, what has that got to do with me and all this stuff you're talking about tonight? Well, because it's based upon understanding what God says about us rather than us, our feelings about us. And what I'm trying to say, it's not just psychology. This identity statement is important because it's based on what God says is true of us right now, who are in Christ Jesus. For example, now here's the biblical answers that go along with each one of these statements. You are a new creation. I dealt with that tonight, 2 Corinthians 5:17. God says you are. You're not the same person you were before you got saved. That person is dead and gone as far as God's concerned. He's gone. So don't associate your identity with what you used to do. And don't let people put that on you. No, that person's dead. He's dead and gone. You're deeply loved. That's clear all through Scripture. God deeply loves you. Deeply. You're completely forgiven. Now, here's where a lot of people get stuck. Are your past sins forgiven? Are your present sins forgiven? What about your future sins? But you haven't confessed them yet. It says if we confess our sins, He's faithful. We'll get onto that next week. You're completely forgiven. When Jesus died, He paid for all your sins before you were born. So He already paid for it. And you're totally accepted by God right now, completely. You're accepted. Everybody needs to feel that they belong. You're accepted, and you're accepted. And that's one of the things we talked about today. Grayson, you and Eric and I, in a meeting we just shared together today, one of the great things that God's doing in this church is that when people come in, they don't need to feel like there's a click, that you can't get involved, that you're welcome here, but you're loved here. And something has happened in this body in the past year where people can come in and feel like, I belong. I feel loved. I feel accepted. I'm welcomed here. And that's important in God's church. And then finally, you're absolutely complete in Christ, and there's the scripture for that in Colossians 2:10. So I say this out loud every day to myself. I recommend you do too. I encourage you to keep this card somewhere so you look over in the morning when you drink your coffee and have your Bible study. Look over it. Why is this important? Because belonging is important. Israel had 12 tribes. Everybody belonged to a tribe. You need to know you belong. You belong to Christ. You're part of His body. You're part of His church. And people get a sense of value knowing that you belong to something bigger than yourself. And you may have been a child But the devil tried to steal your identity at some time in your life, I guarantee you. Maybe you were born illegitimate, and the devil tried to put the name bastard on you. Or you were a mistake, or you are a failure, or you are not smart, or you are worthless, or you can't learn, or you are dirty, or you are a bad person, or you are hopeless, or whatever. The devil tried early in your life to get you. And some people go all through their life without getting their identity straight. And when you begin with God, walking with God, you got to get your identity straight, because when you get your identity straight, then you can go towards your destiny. And that's how it works. So let's stand up right now together and speak out our identity loud. And your homework this week is this: to say this out loud to yourself at least every day, at least once. At least once. Let's say it together. Because of Christ's redemption, I am a new creation of great worth. I am deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted by God, and absolutely complete in Christ. Now lift your hands to the Lord and thank Him. Thank Him. That's the way He looks at you. That's the way He's thinking about you. That's the way He stays in fellowship with you. This is His eyes towards you. He loves you. He cares for you. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank You tonight, bringing us here and reminding us of who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, may everyone walk out of here with the understanding of their true identity in Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Let the church say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Encourage somebody.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.